My name is Anna, and I'm sure you're asking yourself, what is that old woman doing up there? I am old. In fact, well, you don't have to know just how old I am, but it is all right to wonder why I'm here. The journey of my life story is one of patience, patience born of much waiting. When I was very young, I remember my father talking about the coming of Messiah. In the face of looming wars or trouble in Jerusalem, my father would comfort us with the coming of Messiah. I was impatient for him to come. I mean, if God's Messiah was going to make us all rulers, then what was he waiting for? Well, when the day finally came for me to become a wife, I found myself blessed with a husband who lived with his future ever before him. He too spoke often of the redemption of Israel. I tell you, this was a journey of patience, and after several years of marriage with no children, I found that God was indeed teaching me patience. For 7 years, I watched for Messiah alongside my husband, and then one day, I found myself watching for the coming King alone. When you're young, you never really expect to find yourself a widow. Oh, but don't pity me. How can you pity someone who is cared for by the everlasting God? I was praying in the temple one day. Well, it has now been many, many years since my husband's passing. And if the Lord gives me many more, why, I'll be a rival to Methuselah. Rather than remarrying, I devoted myself to coming here to the temple to pray for my people and the coming of Messiah. I have been blessed as my ministry as a prophetess, and I continue to see God's blessing in my life. I was praying in the temple one day when I heard a ruckus in the steps outside. It was my good friend, Simeon. Simeon is nearly as old as I am, and we've had many a good talk about Messiah. And now, it was Messiah he was again speaking of, and I heard him say, "Now I may depart in peace, for I have seen thy salvation." If Simeon said he had seen the salvation of the Lord, then it could only mean he had seen Messiah. I took myself as fast as I could to the sound of his voice, and coming upon him suddenly, I saw a man and his wife holding a small child. No one had to tell me that this child was Messiah. I had waited too long and prayed too hard not to recognize him when I saw him. All my years of waiting and watching have now been fulfilled, and God can take me home whenever he chooses. But what an end to my journey. I have seen him, the Messiah, the Redeemer, who will take away the sins of the world. I have seen him, yes, I've seen him. I have seen the living Savior with my eyes. He's Messiah, God among us. Jesus Christ is my Redeemer, good and wise. But his years on earth will quickly pass. I'll never be the same. Have you seen him, Christ the Savior? He's the spotless Lamb who made salvation free. There on Calvary, bruised and beaten, Jesus gave his life, he died for you and me. But he conquered death and rose again. That's why my Savior came. When you see him, really see him, you will never be the same. You will never
Thank you, Ariel. And why don't we stand together? We're going to change our message this morning as far as our series. Why don't you stand, Luke chapter 2. And the title of the message this morning is Simeon and Anna. And that's who Ariel was just singing about, Simeon and Anna. And we're going to look at the sort of the Christmas story. Well, I've never heard a message, maybe you have, on Simeon and Anna. That was Anna right there. And she was talking a little bit about Simeon. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Of course, Jesus is born, and now it's time to commit Jesus or present him to the Lord, as we'll see here. And what Joseph and young Joseph and Mary are doing are just being obedient to the Old Testament. Look at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived to the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And by the way, I tried to find it. If a Simeon was mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, there's different Simeons, but this is the only time he's mentioned in the Bible. And the same man was just and devout. He was a very just man, and he was devout. He was very devout. He was very committed to the Lord, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the coming Messiah. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, so obviously he was very yielded to God. And it came to, in verse 26, and it was revealed, unto him by the Holy Ghost. Okay. By the way, when you're yielded to the Holy Ghost, you can be led by the Holy Ghost. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So somehow, in a very unusual way, this man Simeon, because of his closeness to God, and of course of God's providence and his sovereignty in his will, he chose to let this man know, you will not die until the Messiah is born. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit. This guy was really led by the Spirit, okay? And he came by the Spirit into the temple, okay? So he's led by the Spirit to go to the temple. And when the parents, this is Joseph and Mary, brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, by the way, so Simeon probably has a little dialogue with Joseph and Mary, and grabs Jesus and sort of puts him up and starts blessing God. And so then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He says, it's time to go home. Now I have seen the Messiah. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, when thou prepared before the face of all people a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Obviously, Simeon was very familiar with the Old Testament. And Joseph and his mother, verse 33, marveled at those things which were spoken of him. By the way, remember, Joseph and Mary were young. Some say Mary may have been about 15 or 16 years old. And so, I'm sure they knew the scriptures and they were very godly people. But here's this elderly, godly man comes and he starts talking. And he sort of starts just quoting scripture, and they're like, wow, you know, they're still they know this is the Messiah, but they're sort of marvel. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him by Simeon. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. Of course, seeing what Jesus, their son, had to go through, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna. This was Anna up here singing here just a moment ago. A prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. So it looks like that after 7 years, her husband died, and that she was a widow for the rest of her life, and then up until she was 84, and she was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years, which departed not from the temple. She just stayed there at the temple, but served God with fastings. Okay, of course, if you're a new Christian, say, what's fasting? It's depriving yourself of food so that you can get closer to God. Okay, we all want to get closer to God another way. Amen. Nobody wants to give up food. You know, I'll give up sleep, and I'll give everything up, but I don't want to give up food. And so she fasted. Look, she fastings and prayers night and day. She was a very, very godly lady. And she coming in that instant gave thanks. So this was God's providence, just all the timing here. So you got Simeon, and then you have Anna, and you have Joseph, and you have Mary, and you have the Messiah, Jesus, little baby Jesus. Likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that look for the redemption in Jerusalem. We're going to pray. I want us to look at these two. Why would God choose Simeon and Anna to have such a special event? Wouldn't it be great if you got to be the ones at the temple when the Messiah shows up in a baby, and you're right there when he's being committed, as the Bible says, presented to the Lord? Why? I don't know about you, but I want God to do something special in my life. And I want to be close to God. I want opportunities of God's presence. I mean, they're baby Jesus, God in the flesh. Why did God choose Simeon? Why did God choose Anna? Let's look at their lives this morning, and maybe we can emulate them. Father, help us this morning as we just look at your word, and help us to understand maybe some reasons why. We can learn from this story about the special presence of God in the life of Simeon and Anna. Help us this morning. Lord, we need you. We cry out to you for your help. Without you, we can do nothing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to make more application near the end of the message. I just want us to look at these two individuals, Simeon and Anna's lives. In God's sovereignty, he chose two seemingly insignificant people to have the opportunity to experience his presence in a special way. I don't know about you, but I want to experience God's presence in a special way. We do not base our Christian life on experience, but we all should desire God to show his presence and blessing in a special way. Let's look at some of the characteristics in these two individuals, Simeon and Anna. First of all, we see Simeon and Anna, simply put, were both very godly people. They were just godly, okay? They were just close to God. They loved God. They were close to God. They were like God. They were just plain out godly people. We see in verse 25 that Simeon was just and devout, waiting on the consolation of Israel. He wasn't waiting for his raise. He wasn't waiting for his promotion. He wasn't waiting for his time to come. He wasn't waiting for his house to close in escrow. You know what he was waiting for? He was waiting. His life was waiting for the coming Messiah. Just godly people. just and devout, verse 25. The word devout means yielding a solemn and reverential devotion to God in religious exercises. Very devout is very devoted to God. Just is upright, honest, blameless, without guilt. We see in verse 37 in regards to Anna, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Wouldn't that be a great testimony if we were known as someone that served God with fasting and prayer, but here's the key, night and day. You say, well, was there any other time? No, when day's done, night starts. These two individuals no doubt had a very pure, holy, consecrated, upright, faithful private life to God. Let's look number two. By the way, and I'll get to the application in a minute. I want to go through some of the characteristics of these people, but wouldn't you like for God's blessing and presence to be with you in an unusual way in the year 2013? Let's be devout. Let's be just. Let's be godly. Let's serve God day and night. Then we see, secondly, Simeon and Anna were both no doubt very yielded and led by God's Holy Spirit. Let me say this. Everybody's led by somebody or something. Everybody is. We're all led by something. Some people are led by money. Some people are led by a pat on the back. Some people are led by the something, somebody. Everybody's led by somebody or something. You know who Christians are supposed to be led by? The Holy Spirit of God. Simeon and Anna were both, no doubt, very yielded and led by God's Holy Spirit. Not by ambition, not led by self, not led by their culture. By the way, that's where most of our young people are being led right now, our culture. And mom and dad, don't allow it. You are supposed to be influencing them. Their culture and what's going on. And, well, the neighbors do it or the kid at the church does it. That's not what it's all about. We need to help our children to be led by God and His Holy Spirit. Not led by their culture or self or ambition. Not led by friends and peers. Adults are led by friends and peers. Our children, unfortunately, these two godly individuals were led by the Lord. Simeon in verse 25 to 27, we just read, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. I mean, just those two verses, actually three verses. The Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, by the way, please get this, and we're not teaching on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never speaks to us contrary to God's word. Okay, I have occasionally have people come up, and they say, the Holy Spirit told me. Okay, the ones with a really weird look in their eyes. Okay, and then they start giving me dreams, and I saw, and I go, okay, wait a minute. Okay, well, just hold on. Anyway, we won't go there. If Simeon was not being led by God's Holy Spirit, he would never had the opportunity to be with Jesus, when he was being presented to the Lord. And of course, Anna. The Bible uses that little phrase, and she coming at that instant. You say, what was that? Let me say this. The reason you need to be yielded to God, okay, and yield to His Holy Spirit, okay, and be directed by His Word and His Holy Spirit, because that instant, you say, what is that instant? Listen, God's time, there was only one time when Jesus, the baby Jesus, was going to be presented to the Lord, and because Anna was in tune with God, at that instant, she went to the temple, and she was led by the Holy Spirit, and she had that opportunity. Let's be a people yielded to the Holy Spirit, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. Simeon and Anna, number three, were both very grateful people that praised and thanked God. Look at verse 28 of chapter 2, and we'll look here real quickly. Look at verse 28. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and then he goes on, we won't read all that. Then look over to verse 37. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks. She was grateful. Simeon was grateful. These were very, very grateful people. Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to apply all this in just a minute. If God was looking to show his presence and his special blessing in a great way, in a wonderful way, and it was based on your spirit of gratitude in the past, how many times would God show his blessing and presence to you? Let me say that again. If God's blessing was based not on what we're doing today, but what we thank God for yesterday, not what we plan on doing tomorrow. If God's blessing and presence and just his unique guidance was based on our gratitude, how much blessing would we have today? Let me say number four about this couple, and then we're going to give you some application. As far as the world was concerned, Simeon and Anna were very insignificant, not as far as God was concerned, but as far as the world was concerned, Simeon and Anna were very insignificant people. But God knew them in a special way. We don't know who are these people? Anna and Simeon. Look, get your concordance. Do some search with some of these programs. Anna and Simeon, this is it right here. This is a little story. But what a special time that they had. And let me say this: if you walk with God, maybe everybody else doesn't know you, but God knows you. Let me give just a few applications, will be done. Number one, in 2013, we're about there. Let's seek God's blessing and presence. Look, folks, there's a lot to seek out there today. There's more to seek out there now. It's been out there, but because of technology and because of commercials and because of pop-ups and because of everything that's grabbing our attention, there's always something to seek, but let's seek God and his blessing. Let me say this, and please get this. And I mentioned this in our faithfulness rally yesterday. There's seasons of the soul, and there's seasons of the body, and there's seasons of the spirit. There's certain seasons that are better. You know, a lot of times young couples, they'll turn over a new leaf when they have their first baby. They're like, man, it's time to quit partying. We got a baby. It's time to behave ourselves. We got a baby. We don't want him to grow up and see all the bottles of Budweiser sitting around, you know, on the next day when we were hungover. Well, I finally woke some of you Budweiser drinkers up. Okay, now we ought to serve God every day. We shouldn't wait until we have a baby, or we shouldn't wait until we get sick, or we shouldn't wait for a crisis. We ought to serve God every day. But here's the point. It's a really good time to make some commitments to God when you enter the new year. And it would be good for us this morning to say, by the grace of God, we're just about at Christmas time. Let's make a commitment this year to seek the Lord. Say, what does seek the Lord mean? It means the same thing as seeking a dollar or seeking education or seeking, some of you guys, you know, you go went somewhere, you're single guys, seeking a woman. You got to seek the Lord. Anna and Simeon, they were seekers of God. You wrap up life, we ought to be seekers of God and seekers of souls, because God sent his son Jesus to die for lost souls. And if we're seeking God, we're seeking his will. Let's be a seeker of God. Let me say number two, let's be committed to being godly people in 2013 like Simeon and Anna were. So what are godly people? I remember when we were in Bible college, there was a lady, and Brother Hiles she was a widow lady. Her name was Mrs. Bartell. She was very godly. Okay, and you don't base godliness on experience and feelings. You got around her, you know you were around someone that was godly. And basically, she had a little apartment at the church, and all she did, her job to pay for her little apartment and her food, her job was to pray. So if you ask, what do you do for life? I pray. Well, I know we all pray, but I mean, what do you do for a living? I pray. I mean, what do you do to make money? I pray. I never forget, she'd always sit like right on the second or third row, same place, and during church services, there were a handful of college, Bible college girls that always went to her. They just gravitated to her. She was like a magnet for people that wanted to be godly. She just had an air of godliness to her. Okay, and she wasn't trying to put on a show. She was just a lady that walked with God. And I challenge you this morning as we're getting close to entering the new year. Let's just be godly people. Let's be godly people. Let's be godly people in our cars. When we turn the radio on, let's have an air of godliness in our homes. Let's have godly music at our homes. Let's have godly pictures in our homes. Let's, you know what we might want to do? Go home and take down all the ungodly sports heroes that are hung up in our homes that are living ungodly lives and maybe put up some scripture. Let's be committed. Let's make a decision to be godly people. Moms and dads, let's teach our children to be godly children. Don't allow them to be tainted by this culture and the world. And you say, well, they sort of like, I don't want to offend them. Hey, listen, I don't want to offend God. Walk with him. Draw nigh to God, and the Bible says he'll draw nigh to you. God's over there, and he's waiting. You take a step towards him, he takes a step toward you. You take a step toward him, he takes a step toward you. And by the way, if you're going to walk with God, do you notice Anna, she was a widow. She was all by herself. Remember this. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to walk with God by yourself. Well, I'm waiting for my friend. Don't wait for your friend. Now, if your friend wants to follow you, more power to you and your friend. Well, I'm waiting for my wife. Listen, you will more likely get your wife to follow you by not waiting for her, but you walk with God and you love her as Christ loved the church, and she'll more. But if you, well, I'm waiting for you. Well, no, I'm waiting for you. No, just go on. By the way, husband, you're really supposed to be the leader. Let's just be committed to be godly people. Walk with him. Learn about him. Read his word. Do you read the Bible this morning? Did you open up the Bible? You say, what's reading? That is God talking to us. And then talk to him. And praise him and thank him. And commune with him. And abide in him. Abiding in him just means being with God. Talking with him. And while you're walking and while you're in your car, when you're at work, let's be committed to being godly people. And then let me say number three. Let's decide to be grateful people in 2013. Grateful to God. I heard Zig Ziglar's, he's a Christian, but he's more of a motivational speaker. But he gave a little story one time, and he said, I'm not a counselor, I don't really believe in much counseling. He said, but someone directed me to this lady that didn't like her job. Okay? And so the lady came and said, oh, I hate my job. It's horrible. And he said, okay, here's how this works. I'm not a counselor, but I'll talk to you. He said, but we don't go to step two until you do step one. And she said, what's step one? He said, you have to write down why you like or anything at your work that you like, that you're grateful for. She's nothing. Not a thing. He said, well, let me ask you a question. So you don't get paid? Is this volunteer? No, it's a job. He said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you like to get paid? She said, oh, yeah. He said, write that down. You just said there's nothing you like at that workplace. Write it down. And she fussed with him a little bit. And then after a while, she said, I'll do it. He said, I am not going anywhere with you, because really everything's about, and the little thing that he was talking about was attitude. He said, she's like, all right, you know, she got her pen out. She just grudged, you know, how much do you get paid? Come to find out, she got paid pretty good. Okay, well, do you have, do you have insurance? Yeah, wrote it down. 22 things that she liked at work. Okay? Now look, we're not fussing about work this morning. You know what? We're God's people. Well, you know, my boss. Okay? This lady, she lost her husband. She was single her whole life. Let me say this. I don't know about you. I remember when I was single, it wasn't good. The Bible says it's not good for a man to live alone. And all we got to do is go to some of you single guys' bedrooms today, and we'll figure out why it's not good for a man to live alone. You are a mess. Your drawers are a mess. Your closets are, you a mess. By the way, it doesn't say it's not good for a lady to live alone. She can live alone well. She doesn't need us. We need her. Amen? Man, my wife would do fine without me. Let's be a grateful people. And then as Simeon and Anna, let's decide to be like both of them. But I like that little phrase. And actually, it's also said about Joshua, the same thing. Anna departed not from the temple. We understand that Old Testament temple, that transitional time is not necessarily exactly what we have today. But you know, they wanted to be at the place that represents God. Now in our days, the place that represents God is the New Testament local church. And I want to challenge us this morning. This is our Sunday morning crowd. You're wonderful people. We're glad to see you here. But let me challenge you. Why don't you make a commitment to say, I'm going to be at church every time the door is open. The best thing for your marriage, the best thing for your family, the best thing for your children, the best thing for your future is to have a community of godly people, and that group of godly people is in the local New Testament church. Be at church. And by the way, I want to challenge you to do this. Some of us need to take the step of, now, I remember, listen, you say, Pastor, were you a good Catholic before you got saved? No, I was a Catholic. I was not a good Catholic. Actually, I wasn't a good anything. Thank you. Didn't go to church. My aunt saw our family falling apart, and for Christmas, she bought us this big Bible. I mean, they brought it in on a forklift. It was huge. And man, my brother, by the way, glad to see my brother and his wife here this morning. My brother had already fallen apart. I was falling apart. My sister Sally was falling apart. And basically the dominoes were falling. Now, Annie and Jimmy were just little, but we all already can see the poison on them. My aunt, she's like, she'd come from Chicago every year. And every year, by the way, it evolves on us. We don't see it. But when you see family every year, and she's like, Johnny's in juvenile hall again. He was in juvenile hall last time I was here. Those are the nice things. And then my brother got saved and I got saved. And I remember first going to church, second row, right where you are, Mario, second row, and I was actually right in that empty seat. That's where I always sit, right there. Listen, man, if you didn't have pay extra for the front seats, that's where I'm going to be. And I was right there. You know, I was a sort of hippie guy. I had long, cute hair, okay? Came to church in my corduroy pants and my Levi jeans and my white Towncraft T-shirt. Towncraft, the thick ones, white. If they started getting yellow, we got another T-shirt from JCPenney's. That's where you get Towncraft T-shirts, JCPenney's, right there. See, Pat, and I, by the way, I had me a One of my first Bibles was, and I'm not kidding, this is sort of funny, a cartoonish edition of the Bible. Cartoons, man, that's how dumb I was. And I read my Bible. I remember reading my Bible. I used to work. They had these summer programs in Long Beach where you could they get the teenagers jobs in high school. And I worked at Hamilton Junior High. I worked at Grant Elementary, and I worked at DeForest Park. And I'd walk and read my Bible. And my brother directed me to a good Baptist church. And actually, I lived right on the other side of the fence of a good Baptist church. He said, you know what? I went to a charismatic church. I went to a church where there was a lady pastor. Okay, yeah, she could preach, but she shouldn't have been preaching. Okay, and then I went to a spooky church. You ever been to a spooky church? Spooky churches, you always sit right there close to the door because they want to lay hands. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, shut that down. Turn it off. I went to a spooky church, and then I asked my brother, what church? He said, go to a Baptist church, he said, because they stick closest to the Bible. I went to a Baptist church, and I said, wow, I can sort of understand that some of the church, they're like, ooh, well, that's not the one I want to be at. But here's the thing. Do you know what helped me more than anything else? Now, I read my Bible on my own. My brother helped me a lot. He helped me on the phone. He was in Washington. But you know what helped me? I made a commitment. I'm coming to church every time the church doors are open. And I started coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. For us, it was Wednesday night. I want to challenge you. We're entering a new year. Make a commitment. This lady, Anna, she departed not from the temple. And then number five, let's be so close to God that we know the direction that the Holy Spirit is leading us. Amen. Now look, I don't know of anybody that wakes up every day and says, ah, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. And usually the people that do that, they're a little quirky. They do a few things that I know the Holy Spirit was not leading them to do. But I'll tell you this, if you're walking close to God by staying in His Word, you say, why stay in His Word? That's how God talks to us. And then staying on our knees by praying to the God of heaven. Do you know what happens? What happens is what happened with Simeon. The Holy Spirit begins to lead you. See, Pastor, how does the Holy Spirit lead you? He leads you consistently with God's word, but there are circumstances that it's just like, wow, that was God. I mentioned yesterday, I'm praying and thinking and planning. I got a pen out. I got a pen. I got my legal pad out. I got my computer, and we're planning for 2013 for Pacific Baptist. And just what does God want us to do here at Pacific Baptist for the cause of Christ and for His glory? We're not just down here waiting for the rapture. We're not. We're here for a purpose. And Lord, what do you want us to do? And one thing that God just really put on my heart for this year, and I believe it was, and He just confirmed it in different ways, was we have right next door, we have a facility there, and we have a Bible study. Actually, we have a Sunday school class there for the elderly. And then there's a big one. It's a Brethren Manors. I don't know, 10, 11 stories right behind us. And then, actually, my wife and I, you go down Wardlow, and then there's like three of them right there. It's almost like God saying, what are you doing for the elderly? And by the way, God says to honor the hoary head. Say, who the hoary head? That's me. I got a hoary head, gray hair. And my wife and I, actually, we made five visits yesterday, and they were all to visit some of the people in our church, elderly people. So most of them are new, not all of them. And then John Castle calls. He said, Pastor, he said, we've been talking about ministering to the elderly. He said, you sort of put it together. He said, I'm in. You say, what does that mean? I think this. Whenever you're going to do something, you got to find someone that's willing to get involved with doing it. And I just think, I'm not saying I'm in tune with God 24/7. I try to be. I think sometimes I get out of tune. Just, we got the flesh and the world. I don't want to blame anybody. We also have a free will. But I want to be, and by the way, it was encouraging to me. Because some of the things that John and I talked about, my wife and I were just talking about. It's like the Holy Spirit was just confirming, listen, love the elderly people in your community. I want to be a Christian. I want to challenge our church. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Not the flesh, not your culture, not your friend, not your coworkers, not somebody that's grabbing you by your chain and getting your emotional chain moving, not some girl. By the way, some of you guys, maybe this, you're, and I don't know if anybody, and if you are, I don't know who you are, but maybe you have some girlfriend, she doesn't have anything to do with God, she doesn't love God, and she's leading you. I had that as a new Christian. You say, what I did? I went to my girlfriend, I said, it's over. You say, did you? I did like her. But I said, you know what? You're pulling me away from God. It's over. Let's be led by His Holy Spirit. And then lastly, let's realize the God of heaven knows every attempt you give to seek Him, and He will reward you accordingly. Hebrews 11:6 says, He's a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Not passively seek Him. Not casually seek Him. Not seek Him when we have time. Not seek Him when we have nothing else to do. Not seek Him when there's nothing else going on. But diligently seek Him. He promises us that He will reward us. I don't know about you, but I like rewards, and I like a pat on the back, and I like a certificate, and we've had them for different reasons, and we like to be honored. But I'll tell you what, I'll tell you who I want to be rewarded by, the God of heaven. Let's bow our heads for just a moment, and let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.